known of the Gree, if indeed this was originally a Gree structure. Legend has it that they possessed amazing arcane technologies that allowed travel among the stars. That they were a nomadic species, exploring the galaxy for unknown ends. There were rumors of Gree sculptures somewhere in the old city, but some believe the expedition that supposedly found them fabricated them. Sometimes Dale's footprints fade in areas where the floor has seemingly been blown free of dust, perhaps by underground storms. Power surges as that incredible energy breaks free, maybe once each year or once in a lifetime. So much is unknown, but Lannery's attention is fixed. Her intention is known. Dale needs saving from himself, and she will strive for this as long as she can. Lannery loses track of time. She thinks perhaps a day has passed since she left the surface and ventured down here. She is worried about finding her way back out, but there are footprints, both hers and Dale's now, and there is the Force. It is a comfort to her, and the only reason she can stay her course. She's hungry and thirsty. Water runs down the walls in places, but she cannot bring herself to touch or drink it. She has no idea where it has come from or what, over many centuries, it has been filtered through. There must be countless places that time has forever hidden from view, and countless things that will never be known. She starts calling after Dale more and more. The echoes of her shouts seem to argue, and sometimes she thinks she can hear choirs of Lannery's imploring her brother to return, to turn around, to come to her and home. Lannery thinks she is hallucinating, but can't be sure. The ruins are so old that nowhere is untouched by time's finger. Sometimes they are ravaged, sometimes merely stroked by a reminder that entropy cannot be denied. She passes along large passageways with smaller tunnels leading off, and sometimes by alcoves in the walls that might once have been doorways, but that have long since been closed off. These smaller tunnels offer tantalizing and terrifying possibilities, but Lannery will not be shaken from her course. This is not an exploration. It is a rescue. There are much larger caverns, almost hallways, with strangely shaped pits in the floor that might once have held water, and upright structures with the remains of metal shapes. Perhaps this is technology, rotted away over time. She feels she is closing in on Dale. A metal bridge spans a deep, dark ravine, from the depths of which flows a warm breath. The bridge groans as she crosses it. The darkness beckons. It smells of dusty bone and wet fur, and Lannery crosses the last third of the bridge at a run. Beyond is another large cavern where ranked levels all around look much like seating areas, and a central dais bears the remains of several upright mechanical objects. Lannery pauses to catch her breath. In the distance, she hears a scream. Lannery was being dragged. Voices sounded, urgent and angry, making no effort to hide. She felt heat on her body as they threw her down. She rolled onto her side, feeling for wounds. But there were only the bumps and bruises she was already familiar with, and a few more besides. She still wore her weapons and wrist unit. They hadn't even bothered disarming her. Either they were clumsy, or they no longer viewed her as a threat. Hit on the head again, she thought. Master Kinnaid would be disgusted. She tried to see away some of the pain, losing it to the Force, and a calm numbness descended.
I'm almost done. I'll let you watch.
Dale! But he was dead, wasn't he? She'd come down here looking for him and found... But, no. That was another place. Another time. That was in the past. Lannery opened her eyes and gathered herself, sitting up, hugging her knees to her chest. The air in the mine shivered with heat. Several humans, growth-stunted and dressed in reflective clothing and visored helmets, fussed around some mining equipment. Dale stood close to her, blaster in his hand aimed in her direction, and five stargazers accompanied him. They were faceless to her, followers of his madness. It was Dale who held her attention.
"You left me for dead," she croaked.
Her throat felt dry and swollen, her tongue like a rock in her mouth.
"Yes, left you. I can't make that mistake again."
Woozy, weak, Lannery tried to touch his mind. Dale pointed the blaster at her face, his lips pressed tight, whole body tensed. She could force shove him aside, and perhaps she'd be able to get to her feet before the other stargazers shot her. Maybe, somehow, she could distract them all. Perhaps, like Master Tave, she could lose herself in the Force, become unseen by them for long enough to disarm and defeat them. But she thought not.
"So shoot me," she said to her brother.
As she spoke, her mind was deluged with a flood of memories of their childhood, their dear mother and father, and the good times that were all now past. She was sad, but incredibly angry as well.
"You and your Force."
"Enough with the talk, Dale. Just shoot me and get it over with."
"You've come this far," he said, smiling. "Don't you want to see my second greatest moment?"
"Second?"
"The greatest is yet to come."
He nodded past the mining equipment at where the device rested on the ground, exposed now, the stargazers standing at a respectful distance. It was surprisingly plain, a round metal shell, several connecting ports around its circumference. It did not look amazing. The miners were checking display screens and working the machinery, and though it ran with barely a whisper, Lannery wondered whether the deep rumbling she felt was caused by what they did here.
"No," she said. "I'm bored."
"You're going to kill me, so why not now instead of later,
brother?"
She spat the last word, hoping for a reaction. But his gentle smile remained. She was trying to goad him into action, hoping that before he pulled the trigger there would be a moment of hesitation, an instant of regret and doubt of which she could take advantage. But Dale was in charge here. Lannery felt the flow of the Force and knew that she was just as powerful and rich in it as ever. But her sick, mad brother was still in control.
"There,"
a miner said. The machinery before him vibrated slightly and then grew still, and a square metal box rose from a hole in the floor of the mine. Lannery had seen this before in Hollows, and knew what it was. A Meryonium cube, bearing one of the most unstable yet desirable elements found in Sunspot's mine.